Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm sorry. I wasn't late. I was speaking and the studio had the mic on. So I know you guys couldn't hear me, but it's straightened out now. And as I said earlier, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. And I'm Diane Adams, coming to you from Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I am just a servant of God. I thank God for the privilege to allow me to come before his chosen people to shed a word. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week to come as we explore the word of God together. It's a beautiful thing. Tonight, the title of the lesson is What the Devil Set Up for the Bad, God Turn It Around for the Good. We're going to be in the book of Genesis, the 45th verse. And when I sent out the information, I let you guys know that I'm expound on the first through the 20th verse, but I ask that you read the entire chapter. And at this time, I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace, where mercy could be found. Listen to the words of the music, because there's a message there for all of us.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I guess, for you. Sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh,
when you cry.
Sometimes I know in my heart that you really love me, but other times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up, don't give in, I'm right there in the middle, yeah, yeah, thank God I come right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you.
God says no matter what's going on in our lives, he's right there in the middle of it. And sometimes it seems that God is so far away from you, and sometimes we will believe that God has turned his back on us. But God has promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us. God never leaves us. We leave God. But God said no matter where you go, he's there. Hallelujah. Do you believe it, my sisters and brothers? Do you believe it? And at this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace where mercy could be found. And our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, I'm going to cut your mic on and you could lead us to God's throne of grace. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Thanking you, O God, tonight for life. Thanking you for affording us this opportunity to come together for prayer and worship. Thank you, Father God, for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Continue to use, O Lord, in a mighty way. Continue to crown her head with the wisdom and knowledge that come from you. Thank you, Father God, for words of wisdom, plain and simple. I thank you, O Lord, tonight for this Bible study and for each and every person on the phone lines and those that are on the internet. Father God, we give you all praise, all the glory, and all the honor in the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, my sister. Thank you. Thank you for allowing God to use you. Thank you for your faithfulness and keep showing up. God honors it. And it pleases him. Well, tonight, our lesson, as I said earlier, there are more people have joined us on the line. It's coming from the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, verses 1 through 20. And the title of our lesson tonight is, The Devil Has Set It Up For Your Bad, But God Turns It Around For Your Good. You just got to hold on, y'all. God is always with you, as the songwriter said. And I told you guys on last week, for a couple of weeks, I'm going to speak about different characters in the Bible. And the reason I'm doing this is because God has no respect of person. And what God did for these characters in the Bible, that he allowed it to be written in the 66 books for us, is to give us an example, to give us evidence how he worked in their lives, to let us know that's the same way he's working in our lives. So we have to look at the characters that God used and, you know, what they was doing and why maybe he used them and how he brought them through. And you use that for your life when you're going through your trials and tribulations and different adversities. Because when Jesus died, he took away our sins, but he never promised us a rose garden. And we're going to have trials and tribulations and setbacks and knockdowns. But just like the scripture says, those things which are evil and trying to destroy us, because God never set us up to fail. And God always wants the best for his children. But the devil is in the realm, and sometimes we ourselves do things to mess our own selves up. So I'm going to talk about Joseph tonight. I'm going to talk about Joseph, and I'm going to bring it right into the scripture. And I want you to be prayerful as we go through, and we're going to start. The background tonight, or the intro that I'm going to use, is going to be about Joseph. You see, Joseph had a lot going on for himself in his early years. Joseph was a handsome man. He was the 11th child and firstborn to Jacob and Rachel, the one he loved the most. And he was born to Jacob in his old age. See, his father loved Rachel. he was tricked into marrying Leah. And finally, Rachel couldn't have children, but God opened her womb, and she gave Jacob his first son by her, and he was Joseph. And eventually, she had another son, and his name was Benjamin. And they were two of the tribes of Israel. You see, his father had made Photan many colors because he was his favorite son. You know, the Bible teaches us about favoritism, but it happens. And Jacob was a man after God's own heart, and yet he was dealing in favoritism for his children. God lets us know none of us is perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. You see, God gave Joseph dreams. And it made him feel good about himself. But then one day, his whole life changed. At the age of 17, Joseph began to give his father bad reports about his brother. He was a cattle tailor. To make matters worse, Joseph began relating his dreams to his family. Hallelujah. You know, every time you tell somebody something God told you, they don't always agree with it. Half the time, they don't believe it. But Joseph related his dreams to his family. He stated that one day he would be ruler over his family. His brothers began to hate him. They were filled with jealousy. Can you imagine how it must have felt to know your brothers hated you so much that they were willing to kill you? But instead of killing him, they decided to sell him to get him out of their lives. But we have to remember tonight, follow the story and look for the hand of God. Because you got to remember, nothing happened unless God orchestrated us or allow it. You see, God was preparing Joseph just like he's preparing us for our intended purpose and our expected end. You see, God often has to break us before he can use us. Remember Moses tending the sheep in Midian. God let him be out there for 40 years after coming out of the palace of Pharaoh. God sometimes has to break us before he can use us. And he's training us for the assignment that he wants to give us. You see, so now he's forced to leave the comfortable life he known for of love from his parents. He no longer feels the spirit of entitlement. He was the favorite. He had a coat of many colors. He felt entitled. Now frightened, this must have been for a boy 17 years old. Yet God had his hand on Joseph. A design purpose for a design reason in a season. You see, Joseph didn't understand why God had chosen this path for his life until the very end. Sometimes it's like that. Y'all remember Job, how he went through everything, lost all of his family, lost all of his wealth. Then he was sick. Had boils all over him and everything. Do you remember his friends came and talked about him, that he must have had committed a bad sin to have that much strife. But we learned in the end that it was only a test. Some things you may be going through and you quite don't understand. Sometimes it's just a test. God used our adversities, trials, and tribulations to mature us, to grow us up. And it's only for our success. And even though he didn't understand it, he never wavered in his faith. We must learn to wait until our change comes, sisters and brothers. God always is in control, always working it out for our good. Joseph kept his eyes on God, and God used Joseph greatly. I come to tell you tonight, let God use you where you are. Let him use you in the hard times as well as the good times. You see what happened, Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt by the Ishmaelite merchants to a high-ranking Egyptian named Potiphar, and eventually became the supervisor of the household. Potiphar could see that. See, Potiphar could see. Potiphar was not a saved man. Come on, y'all. He was an Egyptian. But yet, he could see God working in Joseph's life. Can God use you that way? Is there anybody that can see God working in your life? Can you let your light so shine that men could see the works and glorify the Father and say they want some of what your God has? Part of us knew that the hand of God was on Joseph, because whatever Joseph did, God looked favorable on him. Hallelujah. And he prospered in everything that he did. Part of us was glad to have him with him. But unfortunately, part of his wife attempted to seduce Joseph. Joseph refused. Joseph fled, leaving his coat, his cloak, which is his coat, in her hand. He got out of Dodge, y'all. You see, that's why they say God always allows us to escape temptation. But we have to trust him. You see, Joseph resisted. You see, in anger, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of attempted rape. And Potiphar put him in prison. Potiphar loved Joseph, and he loved what Joseph was doing for him. But after his wife made those accusations, he couldn't ignore it. But you see, in jail, Joseph was again blessed by God, and he became a chef. He interpreted the dreams of two of his fellow prisoners. Now, here the word dreams come up again. See, God gave Joseph the gift of dreams, just like God has given you all of the gifts, provisions that's necessary for you to do the work that God wants you to do. You see, he interpreted the dreams in the prison. Both interpretation proved to be true. You see, one was a cupbearer and he was released from jail. And Joseph asked him to put a good word in for him when he got out. The man forgot about Joseph. And it was 2 years later, the king himself had some trouble in dreams, and the cupbearer remembered Joseph's gift of interpretation. The king called Joseph from prison. Joseph predicted the dreams. He said they're going to be 7 years a bounty for harvest, followed by 7 years of famine in Egypt. See, not only could Joseph interpret the dream, he had the solution of what to do with the situation of the dream. So Joseph told him, look what you should do, king. Begin storing grain in preparation for the coming drought. Joseph was made ruler over Egypt, second to the king. Joseph was in charge of storing the food during the years of plenty and selling it to Egyptians and foreigners during the years of famine, which allowed Egypt to become the richest nation. If you want to know how Egypt got so rich in those days, this is why. They was the one that had a commodity that everyone wanted. And not only did they want it, they needed to survive. And everybody had to come to Egypt and go before Joseph to just buy food, the grain. Now watch what's happening now. Not a famine struck. And even Canaan was affected. At that time, Jacob, who was Joseph's father in Canaan, and Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to buy grain. How you like that? Now Joseph's brothers had sold them. They told his daddy that he was killed by wild animals, a lie. The daddy grieved so hard. And you see, he had 12 sons, but look what they say. Joseph sent 10 of his sons to Egypt to buy food. Now, Joseph was in Egypt. The other son, the father refused to let go, was Benjamin, his youngest. And he was the only other son, Rachel, had given him. He didn't want to take the chance of losing the two children that was given to him by Rachel. So they go to Egypt to buy food. Joseph is in charge of everything. They get there. They meet their long-lost brother. But guess what? Many years, I think it was 22 years, because he was 17 when they sold him. And at this time, he's 39. So that's 22 years. So you see, it had been 22 years. It had been 22. One moment, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. It was 22 years later, because Joseph is 39 now. His brothers come to buy the food, not knowing that it was Joseph that was in charge. And he was unaware that it was him. And he confined them there for 3 days. Then he released all but one, sending them back to the father and requiring them to come back with their youngest brother. See, he knew that Joseph knew that his father wasn't going to let Benjamin go. So that was a requirement for them to come back and get what they need. But they were still unaware of his identity. The brothers was afflicted with guilt for having sold Joseph in the beginning. Joseph overheard their conversation and turned aside and wept. You see, they got together with each other and they said, this is a horrible thing coming down on us. You know, our daddy ain't going to let us bring Benjamin. All this must be for the sins that we committed when we sold our brother, and we're so sorry for it. Joseph is overhearing him speak. Joseph knew they had repented and they was godly sorry for what they did, and it softened Joseph's heart. Joseph overheard their discussion and turned aside to weep. He retained Simon. He kept Simon there and sent the other brothers on the way, secretly returning their money of the grains in the sacks. When the brothers realized later that the money had been returned, they feared even more. Once home, they told Jacob, their father, all that transpired. Jacob moans again for the loss of Joseph and the added loss of Simon, because you see, Joseph kept Simon behind. So the brothers had to go home without Simon. And I could guess Jacob saying, I lost Joseph 22 years ago. And now Simon is held back from me. He was overwhelmed and he was full of grief. But one thing he did, he refused to send Benjamin, despite Reuben's promise that if he did not return with Benjamin, that his father could kill his sons. The famine began so severe that Jacob had to change his heart. You see, they came back with some grain, and they was using the grain, and it was sustaining their lives. But you know, if you're not adding on to something, it eventually get away from you. All of the grain was gone, and he couldn't feed his family, y'all. And he said, I got to make another decision. So he had a change of heart, you see. And Judah, his son, persuaded him to send Benjamin with him, giving his own life as a pledge. He said, Dad, let me take him. If I don't bring him back, you could kill me. His father took the plaid and he let him go. Jacob agreed. He even sent double the money for the grain, trying to show good faith. Plus, he knew that they had his other son, Simeon. When Joseph saw the men, he instructed his servants to slaughter an animal and prepare a meal for his brothers. Isn't that how the man with the prodigal son did when his son returned home? Joseph was so happy. He now knew his brothers had repented. He now knew how God was with him, that what the devil had set up for the bad, God had turned it around for the good. He see the hand of God working and operating in his life. And, of course, he was glad to see his long-lost brothers. So he told his people, because remember, he was second in charge. He was next to the king. So he told them, look, go slaughter an animal and prepare a meal for my brothers to dine with me. But you see, the brothers was afraid of the invitation to Joseph's house. And the brothers made apologies to Joseph's stewards for the money that had been replaced the first time. See, Joseph took and put the money they came to pay back in their bag. And they apologize now because they don't want them to think that they stole the money. So they begin to apologize. I mean, come on, y'all. Joseph's steward reassured them and brought Simon out. You see, when Joseph returned, the brothers bowed to him, fulfilling the early prophecy. You remember Joseph had the dreams when he was a little boy that got him in trouble, and he told his brother, one day y'all gonna bow down to me. And I'm not mentioning it tonight, but there was another time he had a dream, and when they had the brothers bowing down, this one had a symbolicness of the mother and the father bowing down, you know, and they say, oh, yeah, right. Even the daddy, he didn't, you know, flip over it, but I guess he said, yeah, right, I'm going to bow to you. But when Joseph came in there, they began to bow down. What God had given to Joseph and God Joseph had given to them is coming to pass, y'all. It's coming to pass. If God said it, you could believe it. And again, I'm telling you the time frame because there might be some things in your life that you don't understand or you asking God for. You got to wait. Here it is, 22 years. And what Joseph had said came true. When the men sat down for the meal at the separate table from Joseph, they was amazed to be arranged by birth order. Now these are 11 brothers, but Joseph it would be 12. And look what Joseph did. Joseph set them at a table, and he set them in the order by birth. And it amazed them how he knew that order. But Benjamin was given five times the portion the other brothers received. because Benjamin was his whole brother, and all of those was his half-brothers, because him and Benjamin was the only one with the same mother, Rachel. You see, before sending him back to their father, Joseph again tested his brothers by returning their money in their grain sacks and placing his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. He's tricking them again, y'all. So they get ready to leave. And he put the money in there, and he put a silver cup in Benjamin's sack. He let the brothers start their journey and then sent his steward after them to, you know, act angry and threaten to kill Benjamin. Back in Joseph's presence, Judah plagued Benjamin's life, saying that if Benjamin were to die, so would Jacob, which was their father. He said, Judah told of Jacob's grief over the loss of Joseph and his belief that he would not bear to lose Joseph's brother, Benjamin. Judah also spoke of the plague to Jacob and offered his life to Joseph for Benjamin. Now, that's the background. And the scripture we're going to read and the scripture you were asked to read, it picks up and it goes on right round up in there. So if we look at Genesis 45, 1 through 20, one states, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all them, and he stood by them and he cried. He caused every man to go out from him, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brother. Joseph broke down, y'all. He let him know, look, brothers, this is me. And he wept loud. And the Egyptian in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. And look what Joseph asking, y'all. Do it, my father yet live. He had been separated from his family for 22 years. He didn't know. Do my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near me, I pray. And they came near. This is beautiful, y'all. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold in Egypt. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And Joseph is embracing him, and that's called forgiveness, y'all. And the brothers repented. That's when Joseph had a change of heart. You know, some people could do you something so wrong. The Bible asks us, that tells us that we should always forgive. But sometimes we think that what they did was so bad that we can't forgive. Foolishness. And they had repented. You see, upon seeing this proof of his brother's change of heart, Joseph sent all his servants away and wept openly. And he revealed himself to his brothers. And verse 5 through 8 says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself. Come on, y'all. Joseph told him, don't worry about it. Everything all right. That ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He said, y'all thought y'all was sending me away. But God had a plan. Not only for me, but for you. And not only for you, but for many. Because they're going to have this drought, and people are going to die. He said, but God sent me ahead of time. And he set the provisions in order for me to walk in. And I became second to none in Egypt. I'm in control. I'm able to take care all of y'all. Come on, y'all. He He said, for God did send me before you to preserve life. See, we must always understand where God's sending us or asking us what to do. But if we just do it and be obedient, many times we'll find out later. But if God said, do it. If God used you, even though you don't understand what's going on and it don't feel good and it don't look good, you just keep on doing what you're supposed to do till your change comes. I often ask the question, many times people be them prayed for something that they want in their life and it didn't come immediately or the first year, second year, third year, how many years? The thing that I ask is, what are you doing for God while you waiting for him to do something for you? You want God to do what you want to do for you. But while you waiting for God to give you what you want from God, what are you doing for God? You got to hold on to your faith. You got to keep being in service. You got to keep giving of yourself. You got to keep giving God praise. You got to keep praying. You got to keep studying. You don't want to study. You don't feel you have to do any kind of prayer because you're making it up in your own mind. You lean into your own understanding. You think that you in charge, that you could decide if you need to study the word of God. You want God to be all right with that. That's what you say when you do it that way. You saying, God, this is the way I'm going to do it. And you take it or leave it. And then soon as the rubber meet the road and opposition come to you, the first thing you holler is Jesus. And you want your emergencies to become Jesus' urgencies. That's not fair. So I ask you tonight, what are you doing for God while you're waiting on God to do something for you? Verse 6 says, in these 2 years, had the famine been in the land. It was already 2 years when they got there. He said, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earning nor harvest. So they ain't going to have no seeds planting and harvest gathered. 5 more years. And in verse 7, look what he said. And God sent me before you to preserve you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Come on, y'all. God worked things out together for your good. You know, many times we quote that and we like to say that God works all things out together for the good. This is how God works things out together for the good. You got to remember that Jacob, Joseph's father, was going to establish God's chosen nation, the Israelites, with the 12 tribes of Israel. God made a promise to Abraham that he would make him a nation. See, so God had to preserve them. God knew it was going to be a famine. So God set this up. Come on, y'all. Look at God setting this up. Verse 8. So now it was not that you sent me hither. He said, y'all didn't have this. God's hand is in this. And he has made me a father of Pharaoh. It's just saying that he was older than Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was a young king, and he looked up to Joseph as a father. And he made me lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. That's what Joseph told his brothers. He's almost saying, like the title I'm using, what the devil set up for the bad by having y'all sell me and put me in a pit and then decide not to let me be in a pit and die and come back and save me and sell me out for slavery. But God had a destiny in mind. You see, Joseph now understands his purpose and God's divine order. God turned it around for the good. But you got to remember, God used everything he created and all of our life experiences to achieve his intended purpose and an expected end in our lives. Y'all know Jeremiah 29:11 said that God has an expected end and an intended purpose for our lives. He has thoughts of good and not evil. But we have to learn to wait until our change comes. Joseph immediately reassured them. He told them that I'm not angry. And y'all don't be angry for you, with yourself for what they've done to him, and saying that God sent him to Egypt in order to preserve them. Joseph now affirmed his forgiveness by saying that although you intended evil to me, God had intended it for my good. Hallelujah. After all that you have been through, if you take time right now, my sisters and brothers, and look back over your life, you can truly say that you've been blessed and you now have a testimony. See, God allowed that through the blessings to be a testimony that Joseph could tell. You see, God had worked out the selling of Joseph to Potiphar. Let me tell you what God did in his plan. In the master plan for Joseph, God had in mind before the foundation of the world, but not only for Joseph, for you and everybody. God has a master plan, and all of us was included in the beginning, before the foundation of the world. So let's see how he did this. God had worked it out, the selling of Joseph to Potiphar. Watch this. The lying woman who lied on Joseph, Potiphar's wife, was used as well. See, because Joseph had to go to jail to be broke down. I'm just trying to show y'all a hand of God. When he went to jail and met the men in jail and interpreted dreams, God used them. They came back and told Potiphar. Potiphar got him out of jail. You see, God can use ungodly people to accomplish his goal. Joseph had to be the ruler in Egypt. And look how God mapped it out and put it all in place. Put the provisions in place, but Joseph had to be willing to walk through it and walk to it so that he would be allowed to bring his family to safety. And for those who don't know, I'm going to stop right now, let you know. That's how the Israelites got in Egypt. We always talk about the Israelites was enslaved in Egypt. They weren't slaves in the beginning. Joseph was in charge. Come on, y'all. But you know, when they was in Egypt, everybody loved Joseph because Joseph made them rich and they had food when nobody else had food and they loved him. But many years had passed and the kings that loved Joseph was no longer there, and the new kings didn't know nothing about, I have no allegiance with Joseph, and they became slaves. But this is how they got in Egypt, and that's how they became slaves. And we know the rest. God, they cried out to God, and God sent Moses. Verse 9, all the way to 15. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say to him, Joseph telling his brothers, now they know Joseph is their brother. He said, y'all go to my father and tell him, thus said thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near me, though, and all your children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herd and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish ye. Now he's going to take care of them, y'all. For yet there are 5 years of famine still left, lest thou and thy household and all that thou come into poverty. 12, behold your eyes and see the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh to you. He said, I'm telling you the real deal. I can back up what I'm talking about. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father. He said, go get my dad, y'all. My dad, I was his favorite, and I remember he made me the coat of many colors, and my dad is now gotten old. I'm just paraphrasing, y'all. My dad is old, and he's in need. He said, go get my father. And verse 14 says, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon him. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked to him. They was afraid. See, sometimes you do people so dirty, you hate to even see them coming. You see them coming and you go another way. You know you was no good and low down, which you did. But you see, Joseph sent his brothers back to Jacob to retrieve the remainder of the household to come and live in Goshen, where they would be near Joseph, and he would provide for them. And the last verse, 16 through 20, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph, brothers are come. Now, Joseph is second in command in Egypt, and Joseph made a provision for all the Egyptians because they had food when no one else had it. And he made them a rich nation because everybody had to come there to buy food. So now the word then got out in Pharaoh's house. And Joseph, brother, they start talking about, you know how people shoot. Joseph's brothers are here. They said, and it pleased Pharaoh as well, but not just Pharaoh. See, when you're doing something or you're over people and you treat them right, they'll love you because they loved him. They say, it pleased Pharaoh. I'm in the scripture, y'all, verse 16, and his servants. Verse 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lad, your beast. He said, do this, lad, your beast, and go into the land of Canaan. He said, look, load up some beasts and get some grain and get all of this stuff. Come on, you go and get your daddy, don't. Go empty-handed. He said, go to the land of Canaan and take your father. Now, this is the king talking, and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, do this you do. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for the little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not yourself. Look what he tells them. I know it's a bunch of people. See, you got to realize these was a lot of people. They was prosperous. They had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of children. They had a lot of stuff. They had a lot of tents, and the tents was full. Look what he told them. Also, last verse now. Also regard not yourself for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. You know how you go to get somebody and you tell them, come on, you got to go. No, I can't leave because I got to bring my TVs. No, I can't leave because of this or that. When it's time to go, it's time to go. He's saying, tell them, regard not yourself. This is the king. This is the Pharaoh. He said, because the good of the land of Egypt is yours. That was the last verse. You know, just as the Lord was with Joseph, he is with you every step of the way. He promised never to leave us or forsake us. There may be many distressing circumstances we find ourselves in. Come on, y'all. And some of them may even be unjust. So it happened to Joseph, as were with Joseph. However, we learn from the account of Joseph's life by remaining faithful, accepting what God is ultimately doing, and you got to give God the respect that he's in charge. We must learn to wait until our change comes, and we can be confident that God will reward our faithfulness in the fullness of time. You don't get to pick the time. It's God's time and not ours. Or also prevent amazing insight into how God sovereignly works to overcome evil and to bring about his plan. After all his ordeal, Joseph was able to see God's hand at work as he revealed his identity to his brothers, y'all. Joseph spoke of their sins this way. Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself. That was in the scriptures I read early. For selling me here, because it was to save the lives that God sent me ahead of you. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Later, Joseph again reassured his brothers, offered forgiveness, and said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good." Y'all, we got to remember that grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And mercy is holding back the punishment we do. Most wicked intentions can never stop God's plan. Jacob's descendants live in Egypt for 40 years. I told you that's how they got there. And in God's time, hearing their cry, he sent Moses to free them out of the bondage of Egypt. God always has a ram in the bush. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? If anyone would like to say anything at this time, I'll open your mic. You might want to tell us something you know about Joseph that could add to what we're saying on tonight. Anybody have anything they would like to say? If not, we'll have our benediction. Joseph. Caller, your number is 504-900. Your mic is open.
I just wanted to say I thoroughly enjoyed the lesson. And what stick out to me is you how you reminded us how they got to Egypt. Because we know when they got to Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea, but that's so important to make the connection to how they got there in the beginning. Thank you. I enjoyed the message. May God continue to bless you.
Thank you. See, we got to be able to connect the dots sometime, y'all. Plenty of people could tell you they was in Egypt. They might could tell you they were slaves. They might even tell you how God used Moses to deliver them. But you got to know how they got there. You know? And I just thought it would be helpful. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Thank you so much, Minister Paula. You might have heard something tonight you never thought about. Well, at this time, we could have our benediction. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace
and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory for now and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Is there any character in the Bible that any of you would like to use for the lesson on next week? I could research and study it and prepare that, because I told you for a couple of weeks we're going to talk about a character, but we're still going to tie it in with the Word of God. We're dealing with the characters and seeing how God operated in the lives of his characters. That's how you get the evidence that God is the real deal and what God said is true. And if God said it, you could believe it. And if God said it, you could just sit back, relax, and wait till your change comes. And if no one have any name they would like to go forth, and the benediction has been read, the song was sung, the scriptures had come forth, and we have fellowship in the Word of God on tonight. And I pray that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation, because I realize that I can only give information. That's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back next Wednesday at the 8:30 hour. But until then, be blessed. Good night.